So I'm pleased to welcome today Idris to Road Talk. Idris, how you doing?
Yeah, good, man.
Good, Gary.
Very well.
Thank you.
I see the bright white teeth, and I can see a moustache growing.
Yeah, on brand, on brand.
So is a moustache for Movember with an M, or is it just you just growing your beard?
Yeah, I think I'm just growing it. I feel like I've neglected it a little bit. So because my birthday is towards the end of November, yeah. I'm just holding out and have a fresh look for my birthday.
It's when it comes to your birthday, you go for the trim all round.
Yeah, trim all round, yeah. All round.
No, it's looking good. And are you familiar with the term Movember?
Yes, if I'm correct, Movember is to raise awareness for prostate cancer.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I know that, yeah, men would grow out their stash just to, I don't know, for like support or solidarity. But yeah, that's as far as it goes for me in terms of knowledge.
Yeah, no, you've got the right idea in regards to Movember. That was the primary reason to prostate cancer and to encourage men to become more aware about it and to through awareness, more knowledge, then we're taking the right actions in terms of making sure we're checking ourselves. And if there are any things that's abnormal, we do something about it. And for most of us men, we don't even check. And if we do find something, we ignore it. But the consequences can be disastrous. So that was a real promotion amongst men. As you rightly said, the solidarity by wearing our moustaches to say, yes, wearing this together.
Yeah, makes sense.
And we recently had a football match, but it was in October, celebrating Movember. I did start wearing a moustache. I shaved it off then, but I started growing it back then. But unlike yours, I'd be right to risk a scale of my God.
Yeah, man, silver fox vibes.
But they call it salt and pepper.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Salt and pepper.
Did just tell the listeners about you. So in terms of who you are, where do you live in the world? What do you do as a profession? Your family status?
Yes, my name is Idris. I'm in my late 20s. I'm from London. I was born and raised in London.
North or South? That's important.
North London.
Ooh.
Born and raised in North London. For work, I'm an actor by profession. Hey. Yeah. I've been doing acting since 2009, I believe, but I went full time from 2020. So coming up to 4 years of just doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And did you always want to be an actor from young?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my earliest memory is the desire to perform.
And who was your inspiration growing up?
I'll say maybe Will Smith.
Will Smith? Yeah.
Yeah. I was obsessed with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. Great program.
Yeah. And then also, I loved My Wife and Kids.
Yeah. What's his name? The bald-headed guy?
Damon Wayans.
Yeah, that's it.
So yeah, those two shows, even till today, I still watch it. Yeah. So I would say, that was definitely like inspiration for me to want to be a performer, for sure. Yeah.
So how do you find your work? Is it through an agency?
Yeah. So I have an agent and I have a manager. And yeah, so they would like source opportunities I will be suitable for. Bring them to me and then I would audition for it. And then just go from there and see how far I can get.
And how does the auditioning work in reality? Because for most of us, we just see the end product, the people who've got the part and we watch the film or the show. But how does the auditioning work in day-to-day life?
Now it's changed a bit because of COVID. Pre-COVID, you would go in to the casting director's office and do the audition with the casting director. They would have a camera recording you and you would do the scene. But since COVID, now they want you to do like self-tapes. So you set up the camera in your place. You do the scene with a partner. They will be off camera reading for you. And then you send it to the casting director. And then depending on how big the project is, there will be rounds.
Right.
So the casting director can see 100 tapes, and from that 100, shortlist 50 and bring those 50 to the director. The director can see the 50 tapes and choose 25. Those 25 people will then come in and audition again, but in front of the director will give them notes. Director can then chop it down to 5 people. And if it's like a show, you then have to audition in front of the network.
Wow.
Yeah. And depending on how big the character is, you can audition like more than 7 times.
It's an extreme, thorough, rigid process.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely thorough. And imagine auditioning, you've done it 6 times, and in the very last hurdle, it goes to someone else. The feeling of being so close, you can touch it, and then it just evaporates into thin air. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And how do you manage that, Idris? And I assume that you've experienced that, whereby you've gone through all the rounds and that.
Our
selection process, you haven't been chosen.
Yeah, that's happened too many times for me. I think the biggest one was like for an American show, and I got to like the final round. And the thing about America, which I guess I don't mind that they do this, but if it doesn't go your way, it hurts that they do this. But before you do that last, they call it a test with the network, they show you the contract. So you see the numbers.
Yeah.
So in your mind, you've spent it. You know exactly.
Yes.
And then when it doesn't go your way, that's it. It's just done. So you just have to forget about it. And I remember there was a particular show. I got to the last round. I've seen the numbers. Haven't seen these numbers in my career before. And it's an American show. Like I'll be living in America. And it just didn't happen. And I think it took me like 6 to 9 months to get over it. Because that crushed me. It was tough. That one was very tough. And I contemplated like just quitting acting. I can't go through that pain again.
Yeah.
That was tough. And yeah, it took me a while to shake it off.
Can you give us an idea, Idris, in terms of, I'm trying to picture myself, that you're shown a contract, you've shown these numbers you haven't seen before, and then not to get the role. And so can you give us an idea, first of all, in terms of the numbers, what we're talking about, and then the process in terms of them telling you that you haven't got the role and your immediate response from that?
Okay, so numbers-wise, the show was filming for 5 months.
Yeah.
And in USD, I would have turned over just under $500,000. 5 months.
Yeah.
And I was optioned on the show to go for 6 seasons.
Yeah. 5 times 6.
Every year, there's an increase in salary by 5%.
Okay.
So you're thinking, yo. And then, yes, I remember I did the test. So again, because it was COVID, usually on a normal day, I would have flown out to America and performed in front of network in person. But this was in 2020, I believe, towards the end. They weren't doing that. So I had to do it on Zoom, which I think personally is the reason why I never got it, because there's only so much you can do on the screen.
Yeah, of course.
So I think I had done it on like Friday. And then the rule is, as per the contract, they have 5 days to make a decision. They can't go past 5 days. And I think it was like on the 4th day, the network had reached out to the casting director, and then the casting director reached out to my manager, and then my manager's called me and was like, the sad part about being a manager is not only do you have to deliver the good news, you also have to deliver the bad news.
Yeah.
I said that, I just knew. And I remember I was in my house, my mum's house at the time, in my bedroom. When he called me, I froze, because I was like, this is going to be a life-changing call. And then when he said that, sometimes you have to give the good news, but you also have to give the bad news. I just knew it. And then it's like everything he said after that point, I don't even remember what he said. I didn't get it. So he was like, so sorry. Just doing what he can to try and make me feel better. I didn't show any emotion on the phone. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's fine. That's cool. It happens. I'm grateful to even got that far. But when he came off the phone, I just sat there with myself like, it's done. And I was just like, this is crazy. It would have been about 7 p.m. UK time.
Yeah.
And I tried to go to sleep at 7 p.m. and I couldn't. And I was just like, I'm actually going to have to sit with this. And that was hard.
Did you call anyone or did you remain on your own?
But that day, I didn't tell anyone. I just wanted to, I don't know, like there was a part of me that was hoping my manager would call me back and say, psych. So yeah. I just waited for the day to come and go. So when I woke up the next day, I looked at my emails, there was nothing. I said, okay, it's absolutely done. So I remember like I told my best friend, and he was just like, oh man. Then I told my partner, she was like, oh, but I didn't want sympathy. I don't even know what I wanted, but I didn't want sympathy. And then, yeah, but I just had to try and crack on. And I remember shortly after, a couple of days after, my agent sent me an audition for something else. And I did not want to do it. I was like, forget that. No, I don't, but I did it. And I did it to a high standing. I think they called me back like 3 times. I was channeling the pain from not getting that big one, and I put it in the art for this one. And I did get quite far, actually. But again, I never got it. But I wasn't too fast because I didn't really want it anyways. But yeah.
Idris, and you said earlier about how this was a knockout blow for you, like 6 to 9 months before you fully recovered. So can you share some of the thoughts that were going through your mind, the dark thoughts during this period whereby this potential, this huge contract would have been a life changer and not quite getting it, doesn't matter, you still didn't get it no matter how close you were, taking it to consolation from that. Yeah, give us a bit more regards to how did Idris cope during that period?
So there was definitely doubts of me not being in the right career, feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm not going to make it because I've done so many auditions and I've been getting so close. And then this one, the big one, I still didn't get that. Like, how am I going to do this? A lot of the time, I wanted to quit. I was just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And mind you, like I said, this was in 2020 towards the end. It was like November. August of 2020, I quit my part-time job that I was working in for 10 years.
Right.
And I went full-time into this. And I was just like almost regretting doing that because why did you do this to yourself? Now you just feel like this. I think the main feeling I was feeling was like I was in pain. I was in pain, not feeling like I was good enough. Talking down on myself. Yeah, you ain't never going to make it. So you might need to think about what else you can do to sustain yourself because you're not getting any younger. You're getting older. The people around you, they're all in full-time work and making money and making moves, and here you are just trying. Yeah, man. Many times, I think there was even a period of the beginning of the following year that I said to my agent and my manager, I just want to break. Don't send me any auditions.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anything because I just don't know about this career if I want to continue this. But that was short-lived because in that break, the passion always wins. Even though I didn't want to do it, it wanted to do me, if that
happens. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So it's like I was trying to run away from it, but it kept on running towards me. And when I was having conversations with some of my other active friends who are here in the UK, and I was being kind of transparent about things that happened to me in my career and just how they had received that, because they'd be even struggling to get a common audition here in the UK. And they're like, what? You got this big audition in America? No, Idris, I know obviously you didn't get it, but you're in a big position right now. These people know who you are. There's so many actors in the UK that would love to trade places with you.
Yeah.
You've got access to America. Like, they've seen you. The network knows who you are. And I guess I wasn't looking at it like that because I never got it.
Yeah.
But it was things like that that still said, you know what, man? This is all part of the story. This is all part of the journey. It's not exciting if you don't have incredible lows. If you just have highs, yes, it's great, but I know there's the saying in that from that Rocky film, it's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how you can get hit, but still keep going.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, you know what? Yeah, this was a fat hit. It hit me right in the temple and I was like dizzy, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. And then fast forward to the end of 2021, another opportunity comes, big American show. And I only did one self-tape and I booked it. So it's like, that previous show, I think I held three times. This show, which was even more money, I auditioned once and I booked it. And I was just like, oh, thank God I didn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I haven't told this story in a while. It's just giving me all the feels again. I'm just remembering. Oh, wow. Yeah. This was, Yeah. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, many things you said that have spoken to me. But when you said it was your passion brought you back. Mm. So even though you wanted to leave, your passion didn't leave you.
Yeah.
So would you say then, Idris, that this is your purpose? You were born to act. This is your field.
Yeah, so I like to use the word I was born to perform.
Okay.
I think also I know I have a gift of speaking and I have in the past like been like a guest speaker engagements. So I'm Idris, I'm not acting. Yeah, I'm to an extent performing, but I'm not performing a character, I'm Idris. Yeah, and I think the purpose of performing works on both ends as an actor and as a speaker.
Of course.
Yeah, I will say definitely I'm born to do that. Yeah.
When you didn't get that big role and you're not in your purpose, you said you were in a low place and you initially didn't want to speak to anybody. How did you manage mentally? How did you manage to get up in the morning, still find a purpose, still do? Look after yourself, self-care, engage.
Honestly, like for me, I just have to crack on because the world is going to keep spinning.
How did you crack on? Some after the how.
There wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about that day. So maybe it's like the first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about when I sleep. Yeah. But the in-between, I just try and keep myself occupied, watch shows and have conversations with people. I think my manager, he checked in on me a lot. Yeah, he called in a lot and just wanted to make sure that I was okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Support around you through your manager.
Yeah. My agents, I think the weekend of when I never got it, they made a group chat and just sent me like really nice messages. But yeah, my manager.
These guys, women, both?
My agents are women, two women. Now only one woman because the other one, she's left the business. My manager's a guy.
Yeah. So they created a support group, a WhatsApp group, for the sole purpose to make sure you're okay and to encourage you with messages.
Yeah. 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 Because they've been in the business for years.
Yeah.
So not their first rodeo. Like they know how it can get. And then they even said, you've really shocked us with how well you're handling this.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought I was just hanging on. But they said, no, like some of like our other clients in the past, like we've had to call family members and say, hey, you need to go. And it's like, wow.
And each person, situation, circumstance is different. And the resources that you had on hand were right and necessary for you then.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody else, they may have needed more, they may even needed less. But it's making sure that we've got the support that we need at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've clearly sounds like you had that support from your manager, from your agency team.
Yeah.
So creating that WhatsApp group to make sure you're okay, encouraging messages, checking on you regularly. Not everybody gets that, but particularly in a more traditional profession, whereby probably not due to lack of care, just haven't got the time or don't recognize it. You missed out on a big deal, on a sales deal or whatever situation is.
Yeah.
Crack on for them will be something different, but they're still got that in their mind. Can't believe I lost that commission. Can't believe I lost that sale.
I think I was one of the fortunate ones that my manager and my agents, they genuinely care about my well-being. There's many actors that I know and they can't say the same. Some of their representation are only interested in the coin. Don't give a heck about how you're feeling. It's the coin. It's the money. And I've seen firsthand how that affects some of these actors. And I'm just like, you need to leave them. You need to leave them. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. Oh.
It reminds me of the film Before Your Time. I'm sure you've heard of it. Jerry Maguire. And it's all about Show Me the Money, agents. And he actually cared. Tom Cruise, he played the part, yeah, he tried to break into that industry. And he struggled to begin with because it was, you haven't got a reputation, you haven't got a high profile CV. Who are you? Get out of the way. Mm. But when they realized that their sons were in that league, or weren't being looked after, and it was just about coin, as you barely phrased it, they deep down needed someone who cared about their son, who cared about their child, who cared about me. And in the end, his passion for people paid off. It was a mood, but it was a very good principle.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was an other actor. Yeah. You should watch it. Brilliant movie. Yeah, brilliant movie. So, here we are now in terms of you've got a long-term partner. How much do you share with them in regards to your professional world? Is it separate? Do you invite her in when you're, especially when you're going through challenging times? So I imagine it's, yeah, sometimes you're in work and there can be periods where you're not in work. It's not the most stable of careers.
Yeah, definitely not the most stable job. I haven't worked since April this year.
Yeah.
And that's due to, that's not necessarily due to not getting work, but strikes.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah.
Goodness me. Yeah, that's been going on. I think we're closing in on an agreement. Like, people are saying we could be closing this week. But yeah, it's not a stable job. For her, because she has a very stable job, she sees my world as very exciting. She loves to hear about it. So now she knows a lot more. She doesn't necessarily know day in, day out, but now she knows a lot more. But I think because of the nature of my industry, I remember when I first got into this, so naive, thinking, oh, when I get an audition, oh, I'm going to book it and I'm going to become a star and all of this kind of stuff. And then you get hit with reality. You've had 100 auditions and you haven't got any. You stop telling people. Because when they come back to you in 3 days, oh, so how was that?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Eventually, I don't know if it's like embarrassment or, but you just stop telling people.
Yeah.
I'd rather just tell you when I booked it. So I was keeping that separate to begin with.
Yeah.
But then I remember there was one day I had an audition, like a self-tape audition. And my friend who usually helps me read, he wasn't available. And I was, what am I going to do here? And then I had brought that up in conversation to him. And she was like, oh, I can do it. I was like, I didn't really want to merge those worlds,
yeah,
but really have a choice. So I just said, okay, cool. She did it and she wasn't bad. And then I was like, okay. And then a couple more auditions came in and I said, how do you feel about, and she's like, yeah. So she's really, she wants me to go to her first.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's still certain things that I might just not mention unless it gets serious. Yeah.
So what would you say to people, to men in particular, celebrating November, said at the beginning, regards to, you've just had a major blow, and that blow could be in different forms. It could be a relationship breakup, separation from their children, lost their job, loss of a mum and dad. That's a blow whereby I'm done. I am done. What would you say to those guys now who are in that position?
The first thing that I will say is try your best not to isolate yourself. Because being by yourself, feeling that way can be slippery. Isolating yourself, try to avoid that at all costs. And I don't mean have someone physically next to you, but don't now try and shut off the world. Like, still allow those avenues for people that you talk to on a normal day. Don't cut that off. If someone calls you, like, answer it. Don't ignore it. Don't isolate yourself, because when you're like, when you've got that big blow, somehow the mind starts to play tricks on you and can start to birth these dark thoughts. And those thoughts can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes those thoughts aren't even to harm yourself. Those thoughts can be to harm others. Those thoughts can be to now start having a negative outlook on the world. Those thoughts can be to start just not giving a care in the world about anything. And when that stuff starts to fester, what does that look like? It doesn't look good at all. Try your best not to isolate yourself. Keep your community. Keep having dialogue with your community, whether it be your family, your friends. And yeah, man, there is no one in this world that is having an absolute perfect life. If it hasn't happened to them yet, it will. So I'm sure in your circle, if you express how you're feeling to one of them, at least one of them will be able to relate because they've felt that before.
Prudent words, Idris, prudent words. And you are at very good sound advice in terms of not to isolate yourself. Keep the dialogue going with your community, your friends and family, and know that there'll be somebody out there who'll be able to relate, identify, share with what you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you said earlier, which is still speaking to me, if it's your passion, you can't leave your passion. Even if you want to leave, your passion will not leave you. Keep in your passion.
Yeah, 100%. One thing that I say to people is, if you think you're passionate about something and you've never tried to leave it, you're not passionate about it.
You're not passionate. Oh, good say. I've never heard that expressed that way before.
Yeah, because how I see it is, it's like, if you really love something, if sometimes you have sleepless nights because you're thinking about this thing, if you've never tried to walk away from it, then you're not passionate about it. Because passion can hurt.
Yeah.
And it's because you're so passionate about it, the hurt can run deep. If you can just stay there with all the blows and you're just almost immune to it, then that passion is not running deep.
It has to hurt. It
has to hurt. The same way in a relationship, if you really love someone, they can do something and it can hurt you because you love them so much. If you didn't love them, it wouldn't hurt you. Not to say that if you haven't tried to walk away from your relationship, you don't really love the person.
Yeah, we're not going to take it out of context.
But what I'm trying to say is that...
You're all these guys now leaving their relationship. So I'm just proving I love you. No, it's not Idris.
But like, if you get my gist on like the similarities of, if you haven't tried to walk away from your passion because it's hurt you so much, you're probably not as passionate as you think you are.
Yeah.
And the way I've tried to walk away, and it didn't leave me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I get it. And I won't be surprised if down the line, I try and walk away again. I won't be surprised.
Wow, that's given us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm going to pause it now. I don't want to ruin it. That's a perfect landing.
Yeah.
If you haven't tried to leave it, you have to question whether it's really your passion, because it will hurt.
Mm.
It will hurt. It's just been a real pleasure.
Yeah.
And for someone who I still see as a young man, probably because I'm getting old now, but you are a young man. You're full of wisdom, energy, hope, and living it as well. The fact that you did depend on those community of friends and to get you through it. And you were very honest. You said that still in the first thoughts in the morning, the last thought before you went to sleep. But in between that, you still had to somehow, through your friendships, keep an open dialogue and try not to isolate yourself. Continue, despite that pain still being very evident.
Yeah.
The result being that later on, you audition, workshop, you got it.
Yeah. It's just like that. I don't know what the word is, comparison or just that difference.
Yeah.
That's the thing about this world, this industry, is like you can audition for something 100 times and not get it, and then audition for something bigger once and get it. I'm just like, yeah.
Ooh. A final question. When's your birthday?
28th of November.
Ooh, so will you keep the moustache then, or will you shave it off?
I won't shave it off. I think it definitely needs some shaping.
I guess.
Shaping.
All right, it's just a pleasure. Thank you, Bill, appearing on Bro Talk. We've been really blessed and honored today to have Idris sharing his personal journey. Don't often speak to someone from the acting world where we could get insight into that industry, the realities of it, the highs, the lows, and the challenges. And no matter what our work or profession is, as men, we have highs, we have lows, is what we do in between those. And to really take on board the guidance that Idris has offered, don't keep yourself isolated, and know that your passion will get you through. Welcome to Bro Talk. Thank you.